With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Sharp. Quite surprisingly sharp, to be honest. Think he'll have a good season.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
Episode 2 of Correspondent Week. James, why don't you introduce our correspondent?
Climbing the mountain slowly, as his team might this year. Let me introduce you to our Wolverhampton Wanderers correspondent, Bradley Parker. How are you, Bradley?
I'm good, James. You?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. Are you... Actually, we should... let's go backwards. Fuck it. It's Wolves Tottenham. Let's just cut Sidge off for a minute. So this time last year was a lot of Matt Doherty beef between the two of us.
Doherty.
No, we've got manager beef.
Let's not start a how to pronounce Matt Doherty gig. You can have him back if you want, by the way. Nuno, I know you loved him to pieces, mate. So how did you feel originally when the announcement came at the end of the season?
When I first heard it, I was quite surprised about it. But when I thought more about it, I'm surprised I didn't see it coming, to be honest.
Why?
Because I think when I've been on the pod last season before, I spoke about it, he seemed to have lost a spark in him. And I think some of the comments afterwards, and we found out like through some reports that he nearly got sacked after the West Brom defeat at home. But okay. But the board thought it'd be better to keep him on just in case they did end up like needing to survive. And because when we lost that match, I did think he might have got sacked at that moment. I felt like the Mick McCarthy vibes when he lost 5-1.
Do you remember, so a couple of days before it come out, I'd said on the pod, we was in the studio and I said to you, I wouldn't be surprised if it got announced any day that he's going.
Yep.
I got ripped apart for that, you know.
Well, he'd become quite synonymous with Wolves, especially obviously with the time in the Premier League. And I think even fans of other clubs, I thought Nuno was a likeable manager. He came across quite passionate. He came across as like a manager that the players would get behind. Apart from his regular weekly, we have some issues in press conferences. He seemed like quite friendly in press conferences and stuff. He came across quite well. So I can understand why some fans would have been sad that he was leaving. But the last season, it did feel a little bit like that spark, as you said, Bradley, to be fair, had gone. And it is hard to keep reinventing yourself season after season after season.
Yeah, he seemed to get like stuck in a... He tried to change the system, but we don't sign the players to actually play the system, which I thought was bizarre.
It didn't help, though. The game he changed the system, your best player got injured.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't help in obviously Raul Jimenez.
Take a Jimenez type out of any team in the Premier League and they're going to find it harder than obviously with a 15, 20 goal a season striker in there.
Especially when the backup's only a child.
Brief question. I'm not going to turn this into a Tottenham podcast, but do you think it's a good appointment for us?
Depends what your aim is.
Definitely to finish above you for a start.
Well, he should do that anyway, but I think it'd be interesting. I'm going to be interested to see what system he plays because he's safety first. I'd be surprised if he changed from safety first.
All right, we'll save that for Ricky Saunders' pod a bit later in the week. What can you tell us about the new man? It's no more Nuno, now it's Bruno Large. What can you tell us about him, mate?
Likes to play a pressing system. The first couple of friendlies we've played, we've clearly been trying to play higher up the pitch. It's more 4-4-2 or 4-2-2-2. Depending on the players he's got. Yeah, thinking harder. I think we look a bit vulnerable, especially at the minute on the break. The last friendly we played against Las Palmas, we got done so easy by losing the ball in the stupid area, and they were just in on goal straight away because of how high our fullback was up the pitch. So they'll have to sort that out for the Premier League because we're going to get ripped an asshole.
The first impression I'm getting, and I've not seen any of your friendlies other than the odd goal or something, what I'm reading and what I'm hearing is forget everything that you know about Wolves.
Yeah, basically, it's going to be different.
Learned the last few years, forget it.
Yeah.
Completely forget it. Write it. New, clean slate, brand new system, basically, with obviously some new players coming in as well. So I think people are still going to get potentially stuck in their minds of, oh yeah, Cody's cheap and defensively sound and whatnot. And the murmurs I'm hearing, I heard exactly that as well, that you'll get done on a counter-attack because the two wide players want to come off the flank, go centrally and make it from a 4-4-2 to like a 4-2-2-2. and the fullbacks obviously want to go really high.
Yeah.
And you get exposed if you lose the ball in certain areas. So you agree with that. That's how it sounds.
Yeah, because the left back was Markel the last match. He's got no pace, really. Semedo's got the pace to recover. But the centre-halves, only one really has any pace. Because we need... I think everybody knows who follows me. I've been tweeting for literally a whole year. You know those memes of all the women saying, what do you want? It's always me just commenting, a dominant centre-back.
Have you not bought one?
No. We've signed Mosquera.
The lad I want to ask you about, yeah.
Yeah, he looks a player.
I've got to talk about him. So is he not the dominant centre-back then, no?
He's dominant, but he's young. We need another centre-half experience by him because Willy Bolly just seems to break down now. I don't know if he's got injured again, so can't rely on his fitness.
If I look at it on paper, I go, you got Bolly, Sayis, Cody. Kilman did all right when he played last year. And you've bought Mosquera. That's five centre-backs. And you're going to play a back four. It's going to be very difficult to go and buy another one unless you get rid of someone, mate.
Sayis, possibly. But I don't know what he's going to do with Cody yet, because will he see him as a centre-back in that system where you're probably going to want an athletic one? If we're going to press high, it's going to be a few chase backs. Cody's not fast.
No, I get that. But he brings you brilliant leadership qualities, doesn't he?
That's the thing with Cody. I think he'll be in the team one way or another.
And Saïs maybe gives you a little bit of cover on the left side as well, if you need it. But do you need it on the left side?
I'll be open to selling Saïs probably and use Kilman as that cover for the left.
Right.
Everyone's going mad about Aitnori Bradley because he's been playing left wing in friendlies.
Yeah,
again, we should clarify we're pre-recording this on Wednesday the 28th, but I think you've got a game at the weekend as well. But ahead of that, he's been playing the games left wing and everybody's getting very excited about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go on, elaborate on that, mate.
Yeah, Traore's just back in training today. So let's say he doesn't leave. Podence is probably going to be back by then as well. He's going to play Trincao and a Traore, surely, as his wide players from the start, with Neto unavailable. I don't think even if he played left wing at the start of the season, it's not a very appealing thing to me to have him there, even as an option in FPL.
Well, I think part of the thinking is, I was going to hold this back a little bit, but sod it, we might as well get into it now. You've obviously got a difficult start. Leicester away, Tottenham at home, Manchester United at home as a group of three is a difficult set of fixtures for anybody. Game week 4 to game week 14 is phenomenal. And it starts with Watford, Brentford, Southampton, Newcastle. That could be the bottom four this year. So not only is it a great, brilliant run, it starts good. And the end of the run is Crystal Palace, some shit called West Ham, Norwich and Burnley.
Where'd you finish in the league, James?
Yeah, all right, mate. Okay. Above Wolves, just. So the games I've missed out in the middle there is Villa, Leeds, Everton. That is a phenomenal run of 11 fixtures. And I think the thinking is with someone like Aitnori, well, even if he's not going to play left wing, he might play left back. He's 4.5. I don't need to start with him. I've got the Wolves player ready for that game week 4 to game week 14. Do you think, I know you're saying you don't think he'll stay left wing.
No.
Do you see him as the first choice left back, or is that difficult to gauge because he hasn't been playing now?
My personal choice, he would be, but it's not concrete because Markel's actually available at the moment. but you can never, you know,
make
you never
sure
know
what you say, mate, or make
biscuits,
crisps.
Biscuits,
biscuits, okay,
Papadon pudding and biscuits, Marco. We don't know when he'll break down. I'm surprised he's played this many games in a row. Might be a record for him from the top of my head.
I would just think if part of the idea behind the system is for the fullbacks to really push on,
and Nouri,
that's not Saïss or Markel, is it? It's Ait Nouri.
Yeah.
That would be my thinking.
That's mine as well.
But then I'm also surprised that he's not put a young player in to play left wing in these friendlies and gone, well, I need to have a look at both of these guys at left back.
I think the one, Corby Arnoux, who would have been that guy. He's with Canada in the Gold Cup. So I think there's a gap missing there because it would have been Corby Arnoux, who's probably one of the better under 23 players.
And he probably doesn't help as a new manager as well. He's probably got less knowledge of who the kids are. And that's fair. You think Ait Nouri probably starts left back game week one then?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. If he really wants to play that football, he's going to need him to play Ait Nouri.
Semedo too expensive at five?
Yeah, I'd pick
Ait Nouri. That's more secure. It's probably the most secure of all the defensive ones, though.
Yeah, definitely. He's the most secure player.
Did you feel like he improved towards the end of the season?
He did the second half of the season. It was surprising.
Yeah, he did a bit.
He's actually Wolves' top tackler in the defence, which was surprising. Just the ball's over the top of his head for some reason. He can't seem to get the hang of that. But his recovery pace gets him out of the trouble. A bit like Kyle Walker in that way.
So do you see Mosquera starting the season, or do you think it's not ready yet on what you've seen? I know it's difficult so far.
To be honest, I'd probably start him.
Really?
Yeah, I was very impressed.
With Cody? Impressed.
Yeah, if Bolly's not available.
Is he quick, Mosquera? I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, he's quick. I was surprised.
Well, there you go. That's your cover for Cody then.
He's very aggressive as well, in a good way.
I've not seen any of him play, but I've read good things about him.
Yeah,
how much did you pay for him?
About 4 million.
Wow, bargain in today's market, isn't it?
Packet of pompadoms or biscuits, whatever you said, isn't it? It's fucking all it is
or
in football
both.
Terms, isn't it?
Mm.
And behind that, you've got a new goalkeeper. Mm. I was never a huge Rui Patricio fan, I have to say. Would you make your new man Sarr, who's in from Olympiacos?
From what I've read from Portuguese people and the Olympiacos fans, it sounds like he'll be a decent goalie. It says he's more commanding than Patricio, who I did think got stuck on his line a lot. And he's a bit better with the ball at his feet.
I just felt Patricio really struggled with low shots near his body.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, but even for Portugal at the Euro, didn't he? There's a goal that Hungary scored. He's lucky he was offside because Hungary would have gone 1-0 up.
That's
might
right,
be a
correct,
story.
Yeah. Has he not joined you then yet, Sarr?
Yeah. He played the last match from the start.
It's not his fault, common. No. I mean, a new goalkeeper coming in at 5 million, I guess they've probably taken the view that we would have priced Patricio at 5 million in FPL. We'll just give Sarr 5 million, but it's probably too expensive for a new goalkeeper coming into the team. And obviously what you've mentioned about you guys getting caught on the counter doesn't fill me with the most kind of, yeah, I'd want to look there anyway. And the thing that Wolves have compared to some other teams is that the difference between your cheaper players and your most expensive player isn't as big as some. So when I look at that run that James mentioned from game week 4 to 14, sometimes you can't afford to go for the most expensive player in the team. And you think, okay, well, who's like going to cover me off or give me some balance? And I can see why Nouri at 4.5 would do that. But with Wolves, you can just go to Jimenez if you wanted to, or if Traore is playing at 6 million, because the difference just isn't there. And I don't know what you guys think, but I'd always, in that situation, want to just go for the best player I can get if I can afford it from Wolves. And there's obviously a clear standout in that as well.
Yeah, who is it?
Raul, obviously.
Well, how's he looking, Bradley? Let's jump to midfield for a minute. How's he looking?
Sharp. Quite surprisingly sharp, to be honest. I think he'll have a good season. He's had no problems going for the headers or anything like that. He looks the same player, which I'm happy
good.
To see.
I'd speak for everybody, I think, to say delighted he's back playing football, mate. Yeah.
He scored a goal yesterday as well, so...
Headed?
No, penalty.
Does he look...
He looks physically sharp.
In terms of going for things aerially, does he look the same and stuff? Like, he's still
going
for chances
so far,
and stuff? He's wearing a headgear, but it kind of looks like a headband. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, I think somebody said he might be able to head of the ball a lot better, which will be interesting because that's a big part of his game. So he might have some power headers.
He's brilliant in the air. As well. If you're playing 4-4-2, who's been playing up front so far in the friendlies then?
Silva and Cotroni still hanging around.
That won't last, will it?
No. Cotroni
doesn't have a price at the moment, and we're not expecting him to stay, are we?
No, I'd be surprised if he's still here come the end of August.
Who was the lad you had on loan? Jose.
Oh, God, Jose.
He's not coming back, is he?
No, he's going to Turkey, thank God. He had his profile picture as Wolves for too long, and I was getting a bit worried.
So you potentially look, and I realise you've actually, when everyone's back fit, you've got quite a number of players you could probably play as a second striker role, but you do look a little bit light in that area at the moment. Obviously, Jimenez being back is massive. Are we likely to start with Jimenez and Silva then, do you think, when the season starts at the moment?
If he wants to play that system, yeah. I think Morgan Gibbs-White possibly could drop in that position, or he might use Traore there.
Gibbs-White's cheeky, isn't it? 4.5 in midfield.
It's becoming a bit more interesting than I'd imagined this time last year.
How much involvement has he had in pre-season? Because he finished the season quite well for you as well.
Yeah, he did. He scored the last match, come off the bench to score. Mosquera assisted him with a good pass over the top. He looks like he's grown up a little bit. Like he wants it sort of thing.
There's always been suspicion with him that off the field there might have been distractions.
Yeah, so I think that's behind him now. Yeah, I'd hope so. I think he's set because there's always, when he was at Swansea, it always seemed like him and his missus was like dying to go back to Swansea, and he liked tweets about Nuno like leaving him out and stuff like that. Well, very professional.
On our Slack channel on Patreon, Bradley is one of the most active correspondents. He's either happy or sad one day or the other, but there's always something in there about his thoughts on Wolves. The Ruben Neves situation seems to be he's going, he's staying. What's happening now?
I think it's gone a bit quiet. I noticed Wolves social media when he first come back. We all knew he was there, apparently, but they were like tweeting pictures of him, which is weird because he's like the poster boy player. Because today, Traore was back, and then straight away, there's like, oh, Traore's back. But with Neves, they didn't. They waited like a few days. Then all of a sudden, we got Neves pictures and those at him and all that. So I'm going to presume there was something going on. But at the moment, it must have gone on the back burner for them to put content out.
Arsenal have been linked, and so too Manchester United. I think Manchester United might come about if Pogba goes.
Yeah.
By the sounds of things. So I would say Ruben Neves is avoidable. I wouldn't say it's certainly staying, mate, from what I'm hearing.
No, it's a bit murky. It's gone a bit quiet, though. I think that Fabrizio Romano said. So unless Man United are targeted that Camavinga instead.
Is that another area where you're a bit light? Obviously, yeah, desperately. Obviously, in there and then Doncaster. I don't suppose Gibbs-White would be ready to go and play in a 4-4-2 centrally, and I think probably the same for Tosawi as well. Would that be fair?
Yeah, probably. I don't see Gibbs-White as that sort of player in the middle there. He has to be a bit higher up in midfield for me at the moment. We need a ball-carrying centre mid, and we need a really strong, dominant one. Because Moutinho's just not got the legs no more. He was quite bad the last friendly. And Dendonka last season just lost all that ability to press, which is, I'm going to be interested to see if this new manager can get a tune out of him. Because when he first broke into the team, he was that pressing midfielder. He was quite effective.
He did the leg work for the other team.
Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see if he can do anything for him. Because it might save a transfer.
Who would you like to buy? Is there anyone you got in mind that you've heard linked or anything?
Palinha from Sporting.
I thought you were going to say Palinha, who played for us, mate. I was nearly going to fall off the chair. Who does he play for?
Sporting Lisbon. But he sounds like he's a transfer that only happens if Neves goes.
Okay. And what's the situation with Vitinha?
I don't think he's coming back now.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you rate him, didn't you?
Yeah, he's a good player. They might regret it. It might be another Goncalves situation, that one. Where we go, oh, well done, Wolves.
You mentioned Podence might be fit for game week one. What's the status on him at the moment?
He's training with the first team squad. He's not had a game yet, but he's there, so he's probably going to be in the at the best the bench, I'd probably say.
Okay,
I hope he's got a grip this season.
Because Price is interested again at 5.5. There's every argument to say that could be a bit higher actually, but he didn't get the jump up. I know he missed a lot of football last year. He was all the rage, wasn't he, roundabouts game week 5 last year?
Yeah.
He was everyone's got to buy. It felt like everyone on Twitter was buying Podence, and I don't think a lot happened off it. But 5.5, depending on where he plays. Because I think he might end up being the one that plays through the middle longer term.
Yeah.
He can do. He's a clever player. He's just a frustrating player. Gets injured a bit too much, or he throws tantrums on the pitch. Something doesn't go his way, or he gets knocked over because of his size. But they can't. I think some Wolves fans get annoyed by him a lot for that. He just needs to be a bit more robust, like Jota was. Because Jota was only like, he wasn't tall, wasn't physically that strong, but man, his aggression made up for it. He didn't let nobody bully him.
He's probably like me. He's got like angry little man syndrome or something.
He's got that. He's definitely got that. He's always on Instagram after a match, like tweeting about the referee not giving him a foul or something.
We literally tweet, yeah. I didn't get a free kick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I really think, Sid, is a fair point. I don't actually follow any footballers on Twitter. I don't know. Am I missing something?
I think we're missing Instagram, James. To be honest with you, I think most of them are more into their Instagram stories and videos than they are on Twitter. Yeah, if you want to, I think you're better off following footballers on Insta than you are on Twitter, James. We're just getting too old, you know.
Yeah, it's always at Insta if it poddens.
Yeah.
You got two players also out longer term. Johnny again.
Yeah, that's really sad.
What's happened and what's the prognosis on him?
I think he's going to miss most of the year again, to be honest. I think it's a different knee as well,
Is it cruciate again?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's terrible luck.
He's one of the best players on the team as well. It's really upsetting.
If he was fit, we wouldn't be talking about Aitnori playing left back, I don't think.
Yeah. No. Be Johnny all the way.
And Pedro Neto?
October, not too bad.
It's not too good either, though, mate.
We've got cover for him, though. There's players in his positions. Not as good as him, but
coming
still
in.
Quality.
Talk about this new star, then, Trincão. Tell me about him. What's the story? Where does he play? And
on the wing.
What's he good at?
Carrying the ball, like Traore and Neto. We seem to have a certain type of winger that we like to go for. Kind of like Nuno I like to go for, actually. With that Brian Hill you've signed.
It's basically whoever Jorge Mendes has for you, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, he's a good ball carrier. He does like a shot, actually, from his stats at Barcelona, from when he was on the pitch. I think he averages about 2 shots a game per 90. And he gets his positions in the box he takes are decent, from what I've saw. He just needs to finish a bit better.
Who's he comparable to as a player, would you say, in the Premier League?
Kind of like, you know, like a Mahrez-style dribbler.
Okay.
Something like that.
That's going to get people excited, mate.
Yeah,
he averages about, I think it's about 9 progressive dribbles a match. He does get up the pitch fast.
So what, is he inverted, plays on the right?
Yeah, he'll probably play on the right and he'll come inside and Semedo should be going round him to make options.
Yeah, that's part of the idea. I get that. And so I guess that leads back to a little bit what you mentioned, maybe Traore through the middle then. Because I think that the interesting thing with Traore is we associate him as someone who kind of holds the touchline, but actually I think some of his most dangerous moments for Wolves is when he picks it up in the half space and can run straight at people into central areas.
Splitting 2 centre halves and going down the middle, they don't know whether to go to him. If he gets past one of them, you're straight into a one-on-one situation.
You know he's gonna beat you. Half the gig with Traore is just hoping that the final ball or the final shot he's not good enough. The more central he is, if he can get turned and running at you in central areas, it becomes very difficult. But at least right on the touchline, you know, if you get a little toe in, it's a throw in or something, and you reset and you start again. The central area, he's got the space then to go either way. It's interesting. I'm fascinated to see this wide player coming off the flank and coming into central areas to kind of change the system up into a 4-2-2-2 and see how that works. I actually think Traore could be quite good at it. But from what you're saying, are we under the assumption that Trincão is going to start the season, do you think?
I'd imagine so. He's had most of the pre-season because Traore has only just come back today and Podence has still not played a game. So it's going to be Trincão and Traore to start.
Go on then. Predict as it stands now, couple of weeks to game week one. Go on, predict the 11.
Saar, Semedo, Cody, Mosquera, Nuri, Traore, Neves, Dendonka, Trincão, Raul, Silva.
Okay. I'm trying to think, are we missing out of that? Not gives white, you don't think?
I don't think so. I'd be surprised, but you never know. He's doing
That's the problem with him. I think he's a really interesting one because I think a lot of people would like to punt that 4.5s. And actually, when you start digging into all the 4.5s that are offering alternatives a little bit, who might have a little bit of goal-scoring potential in them, like Gibbs White, starting, I know he can sit third on the bench, but I also don't want him to be someone that is legitimately a one-pointer every week because eventually he's going to depreciate in value, right? And it's just going to waste away for you. It's an interesting one to follow, though. I take it Hoover at 4.0 is not ready defensively to put any pressure on the fullbacks, no?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. He'd probably just like be on the bench most of the time. Unless Semedo's injured, he probably wouldn't play.
Which Wolves players are in at the moment then, mate? Go on. I know you haven't got none, Bradley.
I've got Nuri on the bench.
Okay.
That's the scary bit. So we're on episode 2 and we're basically filling up our squad here from the correspondence. We've already blown our season because we've got no Manchester City. We've bolted it. We've now got Ryan 8 Norris going in 4.5 as he said. Should we do this? Should we have like a correspondence team?
The problem is
we're going to have more than 15 recommendations.
Do you know, we always talk about there's that 4.5, 4 or 4.5 defender that breaks out, like whether it was Lundstrom or Dallas or whatever. I don't mind my fifth defender slot because at the moment I've got two 4.5 million defenders in Ayling and Ben White sitting there. And I don't mind having a 4.5 as my fifth defender as opposed to a 4 million bench fodder. But I can't see myself having the balls to play Nouri. So it could end up that he does go on a good run between game week 4 and 14. And I feel like I'm just going to look at him on my bench week in, week out, thinking you're racking up points here, but I can't bring myself to play you, especially when my other defenders in the likes of Trent, Robbo and Shaw, I'm not dropping any of those guys. So is it almost, it's going to shoot myself in the foot? Look, I'd rather bench players that score points than don't score points. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like even if I get Nouri into my squad, I probably won't get a lot of his points because I won't play him.
He's got the attacking potential for a 4.5 that you'd want.
And that's one thing I do. I don't mind taking a punt on the attacking returns. But when someone like, if Ben White does make the move to Arsenal, for example, I just think I'd fancy their clean sheets more than I would potentially Nouri's attacking returns as an average. So, yeah, I think I'd end up benching him a little more. And you've got Luke Ayling sitting there at 4.5 is good value as well.
I'd tell you the one that's really annoying is that all the Villa defenders are 5. Excuse me. Because you'd have one of them for the first three and then them pick Kate Nouri from game four. But they're all 5 million. So I don't think you're looking at that. And obviously, I think for most people it feels want to wild card early. So it's either, I think other than 8 Nouri, it probably means the majority of people are going without Wolves. I have seen a few people with Jimenez. I think it's a big risk.
Yeah.
When there are others with good opening start fixtures, and he's probably going to need to ease himself in a little bit. He's right on radar from game week 4. And I think we should probably...
Ollie Watkins to Jimenez, same price, is so easy to do,
Exactly that. You'd said that off camera before we started recording and went, you know what, if he's got a goal and he looks lively enough in the first three, that kind of move looks exactly on for so many people in game week 4. Same price as well. It's easy enough to do. It's very unlikely that Jimenez would be a higher price than Watkins by the time we get to game week 4, I think. You might need to make that move early during the international break, but it shouldn't be an issue for even those who've got 0 in the bank, I shouldn't think. But I think for the majority of us, he's probably watching brief on Wolves, isn't it? New manager, new style, interesting players. But other than maybe eight Norias to bench for the first few games, obviously you could definitely play him in game week two, for example. I think it's mostly an avoid, isn't it? And I guess that's, yeah, that's your view on it as well, Bradley.
Yeah, the fixtures don't really offer a start that you'd want to really start anybody in. Unless you're crazy and want to look go differentials, then Rolls actually differential from the start. So is Silver even more so, 6 million.
If you were wildcarding during that international break, Bradley, and you looked at it and then that 11 fixtures, do you know what? I want to treble up on Wolves. What three do you think? I feel like you're going to say eight, Nori, Jimenez and another.
Yeah, just trying to think who the other would be.
I mean, Trincao would probably put his hand up at 6 million, depending on how he'd played in the first three games.
Yeah.
Potentially. If Traore was playing weekend.
Traore could be very interesting, depending on what his position he picks up. Or it could be Gibbs-White.
It's interesting because between Neto, Podence, Traore, all have been reasonable prices in FPL and have all been kind of small bandwagons at one point or another. None of them ever really fired. But it does go back a little bit to what I said at the start. Forget what you know with this team. It really might be different. And you might even be a side that finishes bottom half and scores quite a lot of goals, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
you might concede shitloads.
Yeah, Raul could get more consistent service this season because a lot of the time he made the most of what he got, showing he's a great finisher, but I don't think he really got that many chances per game that much. This could
and
be
Nuno,
different
then. It's only the second halves that you kind of turned up for under Nuno as well. If you start going for games from the beginning under Bruno Lage, then obviously you've got an extra 45 minutes there to try and score goals and win games, mate.
I hope the second half's a fun at Spurs this year. Because I had the opposite last year, didn't I? We only play for fucking 20 minutes and don't turn up for the last 70 minutes. And I hope you've done enough in the first 20 minutes. Was winning at Wolves last year. How long was he winning at your place? 86 minutes or something last season, winning at your place? Didn't deserve nothing.
No, that was terrible. Robbed. I'm still not over it.
Chite game, mate. Chite game. I got a very open mind about him. That fixture run from game week four is unavoidable. Can't stop looking at it. And I think there will be people who wildcard in that period. And I find it difficult to believe that someone's going to wildcard in that period and not want to pick up a Wolves player. So I think they're one of the most important teams to watch early in the season. And something like you said, Suj, with Trincao or something, it might suddenly emerge.
Yeah.
And it looks a really good price out of nowhere at 6 million. Because I mean, his ownership must be next to nothing at the moment. I presume not a lot of people know about him. Have you got any knowledge on his actual goal scoring record previously, Bradley?
Here we go.
In Trincao.
Scored, I think it was 3 times last season. He's not really a goal scorer from his stats. Seems more of a creative player who gets himself into the right position.
Won't be Trincao.
Seems a more creative player. Like, from his stats for his shooting, it just seems like he needs to improve his finishing because the positions he shot from are good positions. It's like Traore, though. His finishing is very poor.
Yeah.
Even when he gets in the position, even when he gets in the position, which is rare, his finishing is quite poor. Mm. Fabio Silva could be one at 6 million. Who knows?
Yeah, I feel like, again, it's another one where if it looks like in the first three he's going to play every week with Jimenez, you can drop down to it if you want to.
Yeah.
Even from Tony, say Tony's poor in the first three and people go down that route. You can go that way, can't you? Mm. I think Brentford's fixtures get a little bit more difficult from around then as well.
There is a lot of conversation of, say, the likes of Kane does move to City, for example, and you want Bruno and Salah and so on. It's hard to fit a lot of the premium players in. You do start looking around for where are the 5.5, 6 millions. Like Podence at 5.5 million. I would always rather have paid the extra half for Neto last season if they were both available and both fit. But Neto's not available and Podence at 5.5 might be a way of finding the money to upgrade one of your forwards or what have you when you do want to squeeze in a lot of the premium. So, yeah, I agree with James. I do think a lot of people will start looking at Wolves and see how you start in the first three.
I think at that 5.5 midfield value, though, you're probably more likely to start with like a Smith Rowe or another rather than to start with Podence. Even Stuart
I'd rather
Dallas.
Take Stuart Dallas, to be fair.
There's others at that value, you know, if I look at, say, to be honest, Podence at 5.5 versus, say, Ismail Assar at 6, I'd want to pay the extra, I think, for,
yep.
for
yeah. Sar. Podence is not guaranteed to play.
No, but I'm talking more game week 4 onwards, you might think, you know what, he's one to look at.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't disagree with that, Serge. If he looks like he's going to play in the team, particularly if he ends up being one off. I actually think if Silva was 5.5, I think people would be talking about him. But I 6 just feels a little bit too much at the moment.
Yeah.
Works his nuts off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bit bulkier from last season. He'll come good. He had 46 shots in the box last season, and 21 of his 32 games was off the bench. So it was actually, that's all right in my book.
How many goals did he score?
4.
He three assists. A lot of shots then. So right, 1 in 10 goes in. It doesn't bode well, Brad.
He'll get better with service. He's a better player towards the end of last season as well.
I think the overriding thing for me is there's times where I've watched you, even when you look great with like Jimenez and Jota and playing three at the back and Traore coming off that as well. And there was times where the front guys just got so isolated. The way you want to play now suggests that's not going to happen. And actually, you might be one of the most fun teams to watch in this league this year. What's a good season for you, mate?
Probably finishing. Try and finish like 10th, something like that. Just play better football is what we want, really, to be honest. I mean, even Connor Cody had an interview recently. He came out and said like he felt like a change was needed and that it was probably the right time to go for Nuno, which surprised me because he's probably like the Nuno loyalist. So I was quite surprised that he came out with that. So if he thinks that, I'm going to guess the dressing room probably thought similar.
Players, it just seems like these days, once they've heard the same voice for 3-4 years, they want to hear a different voice.
Mm.
It's beginning to feel like that. Like beyond 4 years, it's just be interesting. You know, people we wouldn't think about now, like Guardiola and like what Solskjaer coming up to now, Jurgen Klopp.
2.5 or something.
You might be thinking, well, these guys are, I mean, Solskjaer just signed a new contract at United, but in some of these cases, they might be getting a bit sick of hearing the same voice. It's why I think, I mean, everybody kind of hates the Chelsea model of changing managers so much, but it works for them, right?
Yeah.
New manager comes in, oh, I want to impress the new manager, et cetera, move on. Even still now, no one actually thinks Thomas Tuchel is going to be Chelsea manager in 4 years, for example.
No.
They'll have one beer badgy and they'll sack him and appoint someone else. It's how they work, basically. I think, if you can get near 10th, that would be a good season for you, Bradley. I think there has to be a small concern that you could end up in a scrap if you're conceding too many goals.
Yeah.
I mean, the best stat I heard on Bruno Lage was that he was involved in Benfica's best spell in their history and also their worst. Didn't they win, I think in his first season when he introduced João Felix into the team, they won 32 out of 34 or something.
Yeah.
And then the season after, they won 2 out of 11 games or something.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. It's took a long step away from management, I think. He's probably looked back at it and thought, what can I do better? Because he's not an old manager. He's stuck in his ways by the sound of it. I think he's been brought in as well because he's good at developing youth, and a lot of our team is full of kids.
Yeah.
There's definitely scope for the majority of that squad to improve individually.
Yeah, especially Fabio Silva and Morgan Gibbs-White.
I'd say all them attacking midfielders have got scope to improve. Actually, yeah. And the change of system could well enable it, I think. Wish you well this season, my friend. Hopefully, I'll see you in game week 2 in Wolverhampton, hopefully, mate.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed you get a ticket.
Well, we do it. I think, away fans will be allowed then. So we'll come back. Ricky Saunders and I were chatting at the meetup that was last weekend. And ironically, James, we were talking about his first ever meeting with you on a train up to Wolverhampton.
It's true.
And he said he's going to save that story for when we do the Tottenham Correspondent Week podcast. So that's one to look forward to.
He can save it. When we scored in the last minute, I nearly killed the poor bastard. How did we win that day? I have no idea.
Bradley, thank you so much for joining us. And then, as James said, good luck for the season ahead. Tell the listeners who are new, who maybe are less familiar, where they can find you on social and what have you.
You can find me on Twitter @Parker_Bradley.
There you go. And
I reckon, Suj, I know all the correspondence handles better than they know
it. Yeah, quite possibly.
You know, it's really mine better than mine.
James, who have we got coming up third on Correspondent Week?
One more on today's schedule is Simon Bibby at FPL_Footballer. Be talking Newcastle United, and it might move away from FPL quite a bit, I suspect, because takeover is not happening at Newcastle.
But, I thought takeover week was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we'll talk plenty about Callum Wilson and likes as well. And they've got a goalkeeper problem we might speak about as well.
Indeed. So make sure, listeners, wherever you're listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube, you're subscribed. There are 20 pods this week, one for every single Premier League club. So you want to be notified as soon as they go out. And other than that, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, Bradley. Be nice to each other, everyone. Cue music, please, man. Ciao.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.